Hey everyone, Cream Ray here today, and I have Jared Maloney on with us. Jared, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
You're good. I just want to, first of all, just like thank you for joining us today. And can you please introduce yourself to the viewers?
Yeah, so I just came off my season. I played at second division in Finland. I'm currently a pro footballer, but on the lowest tier. I'm looking to expand my career in different stages in football, different levels, and I'm just looking to. I started off in Ottawa, and then moved to Toronto to expand my career in League One Ontario. Once I did that in League One Ontario, I then went to Finland for my first year playing semi-professionally in Finland. Once I proved myself at a semi-professional level in Finland, I was then moved up to the second division. Finally got my transfer market, and now my career is finally kicking off.
It's amazing. So how'd you get introduced to the beautiful game?
Well, I mean, it all started just like me playing at the park with my friends, in my neighborhood back in Ottawa. I couldn't really afford to play competitive soccer at that point. So I just started getting love for the game just by playing every other day with my friends, and then eventually when I was able to get a sponsor and things like that, I was then able to start playing at quite a late age. I started at 12 years old, so. I guess I didn't get that early childhood development in terms of football, but it all worked out in the end. Everyone develops at different stages, right? So,
got it. So the question is, how did you go pro?
Yeah. So honestly, the biggest thanks that I had was to my agency, Opus Pro. Of course, they guided me technically, tactically, physically, and mentally. And throughout that time, I obviously worked hard throughout my time in League One, proved myself there, proved myself in Europe in my first year, and then my second year in Europe that just came off, I had to prove myself again, and then the future awaits for me, right? That was the biggest part was my perseverance, my mentality, and working closely with my agents, right? So that really helped me a lot.
Absolutely. So you said that you played in League One Ontario. That's a semi-professional league here in Canada. And so how did you get introduced to OPSM Pro Agency?
Well, I'm originally from Ottawa, and OPSM was founded in Ottawa. So I knew the owners, Jeff Adai, Godwin Adai, who founded the agency a long time ago. But it wasn't until that I started improving myself and I started, showcasing myself at a higher stage and a different level, which was League One Ontario at the time. That they really started to notice me and kind of recruited me from there, right? So I'm glad I caught their attention, and the rest awaits.
Amazing. So you played League One, you had a relationship with the OPSM Pro Agency founders, and then you were able to prove yourself through League One. So then from there, that ended up opening up doors. So did you go to Europe? So did you go to Europe before you connected with OPSM, or did OPSM connect that for you?
OPSM connected that for me.
Okay, got it. So then you mentioned you went to Europe. What countries did you go to Europe?
Finland. I was actually in Finland. That's where my opportunity stays right now. And that's where when you first go to a European country for your first professional opportunity, if you build a name for yourself in that country, you should stay there, right? Because you don't want to be bouncing around and then having to rebuild your connections each country that you go to, right? So, Finland is where I initially started, and that's where I plan to stay if I do end up staying in Europe. But of course, open to all options depending on how much my profile builds after this year.
Absolutely, great points. So, how old were you when you first went to Finland?
So I guess I was 24 when I first went. So that was last 2020. I went to Finland initially, played in the third division, and then this year I went to the second division in 2021.
So you signed.
Now I'm 25 years old.
Nice. So you signed your first pro contract at 24 then.
I signed my first pro contract at 25 because the contract that I was playing in the third division wasn't pro. But that's kind of, those are the levels that you have to take, and those are the sacrifices that you have to make in order to get that pro contract, right? And I'm glad I succeeded, and you know, I'm just looking to jump levels and keep jumping levels, right? And I had to, you know, I'm not like most footballers where they start from the top and then they stay at the top. I had to start from the bottom to work my way up, and I'm still starting from the bottom, right? It's a step in the process.
Absolutely, I totally understand that. So, you know, 25 is pretty late. Like I was speaking to a player yesterday and he signed at 23, and another player that signed at 22. So it's pretty interesting. You know, that's kind of late signing in the game, which is still amazing for you, right? You accomplished your goal, you accomplished your dreams, which is absolutely amazing. And I love hearing these stories and these pathways, because it's inspiring, right? Like, you know, you can keep the dream alive. So how'd you, you know, from 20 to 25, how'd you keep the dream alive?
Well, a big thing was, you know, going to school and making sure that I had a plan B was so important that I guess, you know, once I graduated from Carleton University, I also played on the Carleton University soccer team as well. I realized that, you know, hey, this, okay, so am I going to really start pursuing this? If so, what am I going to do on the side to make sure that I have a plan B? So, again, I relocated to Toronto, made sure I had a job, whatever, played semi-professionally, people in Ontario, and I just wanted to see where that could get. And the biggest thing was that I performed, right? I performed, I did well, and improved myself at that level. Once I did prove myself at that level, then things started to really kick off for me, right? I'm sorry, I hope that answers your questions.
No, absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, sorry, finish what you were saying.
I was just going to say, like, throughout that time at Carleton University, you know, it really pushed me mentally. I think I really grew from a boy to a man at that point, right? And I really knew what I wanted to pursue, right? But all while having a plan B. So I think that's what really kept my head in the game throughout that time from age 20 to 25, right? And then also recognizing that I'm improving every single season, right? And just going to show that even if you're not at the level at 20, if you're not at the level 21, 22, it's not too late, right? Especially if you keep your body healthy and you continue to improve in all aspects, you know, it's people develop at different ages, like I said earlier.
Yeah, I agree with you. So what advice would you give to players that want to go pro?
Honestly, players that want to go pro, I would have to tell them that you're not going to, most likely enough, you're not going to start off at the highest level, right? And it's not all sunshine and rainbows when you do get to the level. It's very mentally tough, very mentally draining. And I'd honestly recommend to always have a plan B, or to always have some sort of a side gig that you can kind of do online while you're playing abroad or while you're playing on a team, right? Because at these levels right now in football, you're not making 90K, 100K, millions of dollars, right? You're starting off minimum wages. You know what I mean? You probably won't even want to say how much you're making, because it's not an accomplishment, right? But it's an accomplishment itself that you're playing abroad. You know, it's an accomplishment internally for you, and then you can always build off that, right? But so important that you have a plan B. So important that you're able to manage mentally.
Got it. Yeah, and you know, it's a huge accomplishment at the same time. Like, besides the money, you're getting paid for what you love to do. But I always say now in these interviews is that there's 250 million players around the world that play football that don't get paid. And you know, according to FIFA's 2019 report, there is only 130,000 pro players getting paid for what they love to do, and that's not even 1%. 1% would be 2.5 million, which, you know, which is crazy. So, I mean, you're a part of that too, right? So congrats to you. I want to go back a little bit. You mentioned that you went to school, you had a backup plan. What school did you go to? What school did you go to, and what'd you study?
So I went to Carleton University, like I said, and then I studied sociology there. So I knew, sorry about the background noise, but I knew that the program that I wanted to take, I wanted to be a little bit broad in order for me to be able to expand my job opportunities once I graduated, because I wasn't too sure what I wanted to do. But I was going into, when I relocated to Toronto, I was going into it knowing that I had job experience, that knowing that I'll be able to kind of land on that if football never worked out, right? And that's actually, you know, what I'm doing right now, you know, in the off season where I'm working at the airport, you know, and kind of using my degree to its advantage, right? And I'm not embarrassed to say that, you know, I'm a full-time footballer 6 months of the year, and then I'm a part-time footballer the rest of the 6 months, right? So it's, again, just going off what I said, so important to have a plan B, and so important to have someone behind you that believes in you, like I said, with OPSM, right? So.
Got it. I definitely want to dive into that a little further. Just the last couple of questions here. What things changed for you once you signed pro?
I would say I started really, like, I always took care of my body, but I started to really, like, dive down on knowing exactly what my body needs day in and day out to maintain myself for the whole season, right? I started looking, doing a lot more research on things that work for me, right? Because some things that work for me won't work for others. And I started making connections with different physiotherapists and people who could really help me know, understand my body better. So that definitely changed. My nutrition changed a lot as well. I started to know what maxes my performances. I started to be eating a lot cleaner. And so physically and mentally, I changed a lot, obviously. And then my performances day in and day out, I made sure that I was at 100% focused at practice. You know, I treated every practice as though I was going into a game, just because, you know, every single, like, you're competing against top players in Europe, right? So every single practice that you go to, you have to think of it as, you know, they're your competition. But, you know, it's you eat or be eaten, right? I'm going there, I'm doing my business, and then obviously after the pitch, you're all friends, right? But I'm going there, you know, very, very serious, and just take care of my business, because I'm not a local in Europe. I'm coming from abroad, right? So everything that I'm doing every single day, it improves my level and showcases what I'm made of, right?
Got it. I want to dive in a little bit into OPSM. So you also are a agent for OPSM, correct, or just a consultant? What would we say?
Just a consultant through OPSM. I do work for their college sector, as well as their pro pathway sector as well. The agency is pretty broad. You can probably take a look at the website opsmpro.com to find out more. But it's definitely something that's helping footballers all around the world right now.
Yeah. So for the viewers, OPSM again helped you go pro. So obviously, what they're doing is working. They have I've seen the website. There's also other pros. Maybe I've seen like 20 plus. I'm not too sure the exact number. But I do want to mention here in this video that, excuse me, that OPSM, if you're playing soccer, it's hard not to see OPSM pro agency, right? The proof is in the pudding. I want to dig deep into it, like an offline, like look into it. I haven't looked into it that much. I've seen the website, so on and so forth, but I'd love to talk to you about it. So, you know, what is it about OPSM? You know, what is it about the founders that you guys keep connecting with these pros, and you guys are helping these players go pro? What is it that you guys are doing that's working?
So I think the biggest thing that they're doing, and that we're doing, actually, you know, I wasn't there from the very beginning, but when they first started, they created significant amount of relationships, not only within North America, but also around the world. And I'm not talking about just like messaging someone off LinkedIn and just, you know, solidifying a message chat. They have detailed relationships with coaches, college coaches, pro coaches, players, right? And then those relationships can go a long way, because while you have those relationships, they're also looking after their career. And then if they go to the next level, and then if a coach gets hired to a pro club, they have the prior relationship with us, so they're going to continue to work with us going forward, right? The same goes for the college sector as well, right? So all those relationships keep expanding, and then people talk, and then it keeps on building our network, right? So
absolutely,
there's obviously a lot more to it as well, but that's just kind of a base on how we build, how OPSM has built their network in the past 5 years within the company.
Absolutely. Kule was just a player from Pacific FC that I just did an interview with. I know there's a couple of players that I did an interview with that are from a part of OPSM, which is pretty cool. So I think I want to dive a little bit deeper offline with OPSM, and I had some cool questions attached to that. With saying that, going back to your career, what's been the most memorable soccer moment for you?
Hey, looking back at it, man, I would say that my most memorable soccer moment was actually, you know what? Just recently when I played my first professional match, 100%. Like, I've had lots of good memories and stuff like that, but none that were as significant as touching the pitch for the first time and, you know, and getting my first professional minutes. So, so important.
Got it. What is it like, you know, you've played in Canada, now you're in Finland. What's the differences?
I would say that Sweden, Finland, those countries, they play quite similar to North America in a way. I would say that it's a lot more technical in most circumstances, but in terms of the physicality and the way that the game is played, it's quite similar, right? So that's why you do see a lot of North Americans going down to Sweden, going down to Finland, and, you know, showcasing themselves there, or at least starting their career there, right? And then coming back down domestically and, you know, staying in the United States or Canada, right? So I think based off that, I guess passports have a unique impression on that as well, because Canadians and Americans have strong passports in those countries as well. So it's all interconnected in some sort of way. But
Got it. How was the immigration process? Did you just get a visa? I mean, obviously you have to get a work visa, right?
Yeah. So obviously, when you're playing in the Finland FA, Finland Football Association, it's tough to get a visa, right? You know, if the club has to allocate a certain amount of money to have your visa approved for a full season, right? So you have to make sure that the club that you're dealing with really trusts, the board really trusts you, and the board wants to invest in you, right? So that's a big thing as well. So if we're going to send players, so obviously based going back to an OPSM perspective, if we're going to send players to clubs, it has to be worth their while, right? It has to be an investment for them in order for them to have an approved season, but also potentially even sell you later on, depending on the length of your contract, right? So you have to just keep all those things hand in hand.
Got it. And OPSM was able to help you navigate through that?
Yeah.
Got it. Nice. That's a tight link right there. So we're going to dive into the fun speed questions here. And then, yeah, we'll wrap it up. But before we do that, where can the viewers find you if they want to reach out to you?
My Instagram is Jared X Maloney. Jared X Maloney. I have a LinkedIn as well. You can reach out to me through there. Twitter, I'm on all social platforms, Twitter, Facebook. You can reach out to me through there. And if you guys have any questions for me about the agency or about, you know, my career and things like that, I'm always happy to answer and always willing to share some insight.
Got it. All right, so five fun questions. You got to ask them quick. All right, so the first one is, who's your favorite team?
Chelsea.
Favorite player?
Chelsea FC. Favorite player? Edouard Mendy.
Favorite cleats?
Just recently, the Puma Legends.
Favorite food?
Lots of favorite food. I would say pizza if I wasn't eating clean at the time.
And the last one, your favorite artist?
Oh, favorite artist, I would say J. Cole.
What's your favorite track by J. Cole?
That's a hard one. I can't pick. I can't think of one right now.
No worries.
But give me actually no, give me a second to find it out. Give me a second. No Role Models by J. Cole.
All right. So, Jared, before we go, I just want to thank you for joining us on the One Soccer Nation podcast today.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Honestly, it's great speaking with you, and I'm happy to have, you know, shared some insight again.